It appears that Mr. Han's member was fished out of the toilet and then successfully reattached.
Burial at
again.
Sea.
Yes. Again. This guy. Is that got a bionic dick?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I'm going to kick off with Tales from the Campfire. Can you give me a nice intro?
Yes. Tales from the Campfire, listeners, is a segment wherein we give a retelling of a horror story, a myth.
Folklore, fake lore.
Yes.
Urban legend.
And we tell it around the digital campfire. Yes. So gather around, listeners.
Everyone gather around, please. So we talked about this in the past.
Hurry.
I'm like, everybody, please.
Hurry.
Step right up.
God, it's almost like you're in a classroom instead of a campfire.
Yeah, roll up to the rug. Sit on the rug. That's what I used to tell them. They used to make us make the kids sit on the rug for stories. And I'm like, we're in second grade.
Yeah.
They're punching each other. They don't want to be on the rug. So, okay, in the past we talked about shadow people.
Shadow people, okay. Yes. Shadow people are...
I thought you were going to tell them.
Shadow
people are basically, it's like when you see something out of the corner of your eye,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes by the time you look, it's gone,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Right.
I don't know how that works on an ocular level. But it's like sometimes they're wearing a hat, and
yes.
apparently sometimes you can see like little red eyes.
Glowing.
Glowing red eyes. They're not sure if it's a demon or a spirit or what it is, but it's just shadow people. It's
right.
its own thing. So I went online and I wanted to find out a little bit about shadow creatures.
Shadow creatures?
Yes.
A creature is different than shadow people.
Totally. It's
all
over
right.
here. Are shadow creatures a different entity? I mean, yes, right? So much like the counterparts, they don't have any visibly distinguishable features, though they have been described as having eyes and sometimes a mouth with fangs. So a shadow creature is an animal, basically.
Okay.
A shadow animal. They're usually about the size of a small dog, and it's distinctly not a humanoid figure.
Okay.
So it's not a little person. They want you to be clear on that. It's not a shadow little person.
They said
person.
That specifically?
Yeah, it's not shadow little... Peter Dinklage. Like, it's not, that's not what it is at all.
There's no Lollipop League shadow
No, it's
version.
Not a shadow leprechaun.
Okay.
It's not a shadow dwarf. It's none of that.
Okay.
And it says they don't have the same aura of power as their dark cousins, and by that they mean the shadow people.
Oh, that's
But they
not...
have a little bit of...
How do they know?
Well, they're just saying because they're small.
Oh.
So that's pretty much what it is. Sometimes they're reported in being coming in little hordes of three or more. Now, in my mind,
Excuse
a horde
me.
Is like hundreds
yeah.
or thousands, like Mongol hordes. You know what I mean? But this is like three or more.
Well, they can't really say a murder of shadow people.
That's
or,
true.
Or an exaltation of shadow
so
people.
So maybe a horde is like the how you categorize
yes,
it.
Yes, a group of something. A group of shadow
yeah.
people. Okay.
But it says if you just see one on its own, it could also be a little frightening.
No, I can imagine.
Just a so they're usually associated with a calamity or mischief. But they feed off of your emotions.
Are they animals? Are they like an animal spirit?
Well, in my research I found that they're not really malevolent, like they're more like an imp, it says here, or a minion. And I researched a little more and apparently they come in the form of like a shadow mouse, a shadow rabbit, shadow gerbils. Shadow cats are very popular as well.
Okay.
And they said that if you want to get rid of them, so they come into your life when you're
But
negative.
It's not an animal spirit. It's,
no, we don't
it's
know.
Just the shape.
It's just like the shadow people.
Okay.
We don't know what the shadow people are. We don't know what the shadow creatures
okay.
are. So if you're having negative thoughts,
uh-huh.
you might see these shadow creatures.
Oh.
And the best way to get rid of them is just to be positive.
All right.
So if you see a couple of shadow mice... I mean, you don't see them. You'll look, and
yeah,
they'll be gone already.
Yeah, they'll be gone already, but you see something.
You'll see them there. So,
well, sometimes mice are really fast, and you don't know if it's
that's the thing.
A mouse
I think
or...
it's actually mice.
Yeah, and so positivity is not going to help you.
Yeah.
In that case, you have to get some traps.
So the similarities are when, you know, in the research of all the different sightings of the shadow creatures or shadow animals, they are described as cat-like or possessing cat-like characteristics. And some say they are a cross between a cat and something else.
Who's seen these?
I'm going to read you. I'm going to tell you.
Like, who is, like, reporting? I saw a shadow.
There's a sense of flight to them. So they don't linger about. They don't hang about.
Well, neither do the shadow people.
I know.
Okay.
And some people think they're animal souls, but there's no confirmation on this whatsoever. There's none at all. Okay. And it says rarely, the big thing is if you see a shadow creature, even if you're able to, like, look at it directly, uh-huh. you won't see its face. It's very, like, nondescript. It's like a background character in an SNL skit. Like, it's there.
Pay attention to Will Ferrell. Don't even look at this.
Don't look at the shadow person in the background.
Yeah.
So they can be from small, mice-like shapes. I don't know what mice-like is. It's either it's a mouse or it's not.
It's not. Like, mice-like.
It's like mice-like.
I saw that mouse. It was mouse-esque.
And also they come in bear-esque manifestations.
Bear?
So a bear size. That's what
they're
saying.
That's a big one.
So the smallest one is a mouse.
That's really big.
The largest one is a bear. And they say...
That's tremendous. It doesn't even fit in a New York apartment. They better not be being seen here.
I could explain away a shadow mouse, but a shadow bear I'd have problems with. And it says here that some of them...
It's like Uncle Morty.
It's
casting a shadow.
I don't know who that comes from. They say they could be dog-like, crab-like, and mostly in Maryland, probably. Monkey-like.
Now we're just listing animals.
Rabbit-like and raccoon-like. These are things that have been seen.
Okay.
Shadowy. So I actually have some accounts here, if you will allow me to go into a shadow rabbit account.
Please.
Hello, my name is Ashton. First off, I'd like to say props on the site. This is for the shadow animal site.
Props.
Ever since my quote-unquote encounter, I've been looking for a comprehensive guide on shadow animals. Thank you very much. All right. So, now about my encounter.
Okay.
All right. However, it's one string of encounters with rabbit-like shadow creatures that has me intrigued. The sighting of these creatures have occurred along the baseboards and dark corners of my room where the overhead light doesn't seem to quite reach. To which I say, just get better lighting.
Yeah.
You're poorly lit, Ashton.
And again, maybe it's a mouse.
Yes.
Look for droppings.
But he said, on and off for about 3 months as I lay in bed, I would see dark rabbit-like shapes drifting to and from the corner. Here's the rub. They didn't hop as quote-unquote normal rabbits, but they seemed to sail as if they were in the middle of a long, slow leap. Elegant.
Oh. Did you say elegant?
No, I put that in there. Elegant. The figures were not well defined, but the general outline of a rabbit was apparent.
Well, right. He needs to get some glasses. He needs to get his eyes checked, I think.
To the best of my recollection, I always saw more than one of these creatures at a time. They usually appeared in groups of three, a horde,
technically,
as we learned earlier. I was not frightened by these creatures, and they did not leave me with any sense of dread, but I must admit, I was quite taken by surprise.
Oh, my stars and garters. He was taken by surprise by these entities.
There's another one. It says the first shadow, not Ashton, the first shadow animal I saw was noticed by an unlikely witness, my cat. And the cat's name is Sei, S-E-I. I saw a dark mist about the size of a guinea pig run through my kitchen and into my storage room, literally disappearing to the shade of a card, into the side of a cardboard box. Sei, the cat, was giving chase right behind the quote-unquote mist, and nearly went face first into the side of a box. I was speechless. Sei, this is the cat again, turned around and looked to me as if to say, did you see that shit? Bing, bing.
I was waiting for the cat to say, Sei, did you see that?
Sei what? Being a great lizard and bug hunter by nature, Sei is adamant about not having any creature other than her in my house. Not having it.
At all.
She and I both investigated the room and found nothing I would explain where the shadow critter went. It sounds like
found
a rat.
Sounds like they find a mouse hole?
No. They said it disappeared into the side of a cardboard box. I'm like, you mean behind it and like under.
So it was the ghost of a mouse who came out of that cereal box.
Another time, she's in a popular restaurant in St. Petersburg with her husband. They were at a table next to the wall. You know where this is going.
Oh, no.
And then as we were talking, I saw a shadow zip very fast from a table across the aisle. Right to under our table.
Yeah, that means they need to get out of that restaurant because it's infested.
Knowing my husband was a diehard skeptic, I said nothing to see if he would react. And he said, what was that, a rat?
Yeah, and the answer is yes.
And then his reaction was to look under the table to see where it came from. Came up with nothing. The shadow animal was in the dark, misty form at first, but it was much like a large rat. Or a Florida mouse, I'm saying.
A Florida mouse.
So I don't know. The shadow people, I can kind of buy it a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm not buying any of these shadow animals.
These shadow animals seem like, I mean, a shadow crab?
No.
We'd eat that if we could.
Right?
Like a shadow crab.
Oh, you see that on the menu? Shadow crab.
A shadow crab is clearly a tarantula of some kind in your house. I don't know. I think all of these things could be cleared by a good exterminator. Like, I feel like.
Absolutely.
So, like.
I'm with you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Shadow, that's amazing.
Shadow creatures. Yeah. I don't know. I'm calling BS on this one.
BS.
Yeah. So that's my tale from Dear Campfire.
I like it.
If you've seen a shadow creature, let us know.
Yeah, please.
The bear is the most interesting one.
Shadow people, we've heard from people about shadow people. Yeah. We'll hear again if you send us an email and we'll read it on our show. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but shadow creatures, come on, sell us on this.
So what do you have?
Oh, I have here something I saw on the news.
Oh, no.
Okay. Medical experts say selfies are helping to spread head lice.
I saw this somewhere. And let me just say that we don't get lice.
Yeah. Okay.
Black people. So... But so I don't really understand how lice is spread, but I think it's more than just taking a photograph, right?
Well, right, it jumps out of the selfie.
Like,
if you look at it.
So it breaks itself down for me.
So basically, the school nurse is saying now that lice can be transmitted.
Who's the school nurse? Schoolnurse.com.
Port Hume school nurse, Sydney, what is it, Johnson Bell.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Johnson Bell. That sounds like a porn name.
It does.
Marilyn Johnson Bell.
Yeah, Sydney with two E's. It says lice can be transmitted by taking a selfie. If your head is close to theirs when you're taking a selfie, then lice can crawl from their head to yours. That's how you can get lice.
But that means that you can also get lice from, like, telling a secret.
Yep.
Sitting in the back seat.
Yep.
Falling asleep with your head on someone else's
right.
head.
Right. But a lot of, you know, adults and kids taking pictures together, you know, getting their faces close, you know.
Oh, that's right, because for a selfie, you have to squash together.
Yeah, right. You know, I'm always afraid on the subway that, you know, when you're back-to-back with somebody, some lice is going to jump. But if they're saying lice don't jump.
They crawl.
They crawl.
They take their damn time.
They crawl.
Just take your selfies quickly.
Yeah, lice don't fly or jump. They crawl. And you can get it by sharing combs, brushes, hats, helmets.
Who shares combs?
Kids.
Really?
Kids share combs all the time. Yeah,
don't share our picks.
Well,
I've never in my life asked another black person, like, excuse me, brother, can I just get the Afro pick real quick?
Like, no, never, not once.
No, because isn't it a thing that you shouldn't share combs?
No, that's right. You learn that as a kid, like, especially on school picture day, you get your own comb.
Oh, yeah, we just throw those away.
Yeah.
My hair eats those combs.
They're blood-sucking insects that live close to the scalp and feed only on humans. They are not dangerous and do not transmit disease, but they are a nitpicking problem because they're easily spread. Mm-hmm. So the lice crawl around in your hair and they lay eggs, which they attach to the follicle of your hair. And when they bite, it makes your scalp itch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember, I think I've told this before, when I was at boarding school, there was a lice outbreak and we were all just snickering. I was like, well, this is one perk of being black. This is it.
I think that right now, I think, like, the hot cure for lice,
shave a head. Right? Or that works.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll definitely work.
Yeah.
But what you do is take that Cetaphil, cream, that facial cream, and you put it all over your hair, and then you saran wrap your head, and it smothers the lice.
See, I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of black people don't get lice, is because we use so many different products in our hair. Maybe there's a deterrent there.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I want to start using some because...
Some afro cream?
Yeah, why not?
You're going to come into the next studio taping with just a massive afro, but no lice.
I'm always
afraid
of lice. I have a fear of lice.
Did you ever get it as a kid?
As a kid, yeah. I got it once as a kid.
Only one time? That's not bad. Well, some of my friends, it seems like people are getting it all the time.
It's traumatizing.
Because they try to find out who, and this was when I was teaching. We didn't have it either, which was kind of weird. But there's always, like, patient zero for lice.
Oh,
and they're always
trying
to figure out, like, who Tommy had it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's that kid is scarred for life.
Yeah, even though it's not about being dirty.
No.
Right?
It's just about one of them made it into your hair. You use somebody else's comb, a towel, a hat, and there it is.
I remember some kids in my boarding school went on a trip one year to see Congress, and they got lice.
Ew.
Because they had those big chairs with the, upholstery.
Oh, no.
And they got, well, typical Congress.
Right.
But, I mean, and they got lice, and that's how supposedly it started. And it just kept going around and going around. Everyone had to bag up all their stuff.
Yeah.
It's like bed bugs in a weird way. Like, you have to clean everything,
You have to
right?
clean everything. It's not as bad as bed bugs. Bed bugs are worse because you have to throw out things.
We used to have it in New York, not us personally, but it used to be a big thing in New York. What happened?
Bed bugs?
Yeah.
Well, people are getting it under control, I think.
They just bought back DDT on the hush.
Right, I think so.
Because that shit works.
Yeah. I know. Why take it out? DDT was the bomb.
I think it was making people be born with, like, three heads.
Oh.
It might have been a problem.
Oh,
but,
I'll
you
take
know, on the upside, no bed bugs.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
in other
well,
news.
I'd be into that. Anyway, watch yourself when you take your selfies.
Yeah, like don't either only take it with black people.
Yeah, right. It's all my selfies are going to be with you. Yes. Nobody else.
No one else. All right, so I have some penis news.
Oh, penis news.
Hashtag penis news, everybody. Okay. Hashtag penis news. So then my favorite headline ever, really. I could just drop mic on this one. Wife cuts off husband's penis. Again.
No. No. Wait.
A man in China who had his penis cut off by his wife has relived the nightmare. So, he stayed with her, suffering a second castration during a drug-induced coma. And it says here, the bobbiting, so that's a verb now.
Oh, now it is.
To bob it.
To bob it. If any of your listeners don't remember, it was a woman, Lorena Bobbitt, who cut off her husband's penis.
Yes, and now that's called bobbiting. He made a horn afterwards. Because I guess he got the penis sewn back on, or something sewn back on. A thumb. Who knows? The bobbiting started when a man identified as Han Mu. I mean, that's no identification at all in China. That's like John Smith, right? Asked his wife for a divorce.
Because
the wife named Zhang, again, not an identification at all, might as well be Jane, believed her husband was seeking a divorce because he was in a relationship with at least one other woman. Minimum one woman.
Oh, boy. Ouch.
Seeking to put an end to this, she drugged him with sleeping pills and then cut off his penis again and flushed it down the toilet.
Wouldn't he have learned the first time?
No, he's still with her. She was arrested, but later bailed
out. Well, I mean,
to
stop cheating, you know, the first time. And that because he's going to get his penis
cut
off.
He got away with it. As soon as that penis was back on, he was back out.
Oh, my God.
He was back out in the streets. She was arrested, but she got bailed out, probably by him. And now they are living together, even though he says he is genitally challenged at this point.
Did she cut it at the same spot?
It probably was easy to get out the second time. I'm imagining it's like perforated. You know what I mean? Like it's already been separated. Right. It appears that Mr. Han's member was fished out of the toilet and then successfully reattached.
Burial at sea.
Again. Yes. Again. This guy. He's like got a bionic dick. This guy. It's a detachable penis.
If after it's been in the toilet... Would you want your penis back? Men, let us know.
I think a guy would want his penis back if it had been run over multiple times.
Well, I
want
to hear.
So
guys, just say, do you want it back? Want your penis back after it's been in a toilet bowl?
Or better yet, what would have to happen before you were like, you know what, pass?
Yeah.
just forget it. How crazy.
Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yes.
We want to know.
Hashtag penis news. Wife cuts off husband's penis again. Who got the story on this one? Was it the guy who did the story the first time? Was like, oh my God, this is another one. This is like part two.
How am I doing? Let me follow up.
Yeah.
It's like a reunion.
Gone again?
Reunion
Wife
series.
Again.
Wow.
It's so crazy.
That is crazy.
All right.
Super crazy.
China.
Way to go, China.
What do you have? Yeah.
Okay. I have beer news.
Sweet. Beer news.
Beer news. So this is a segment where we bring you the latest and greatest
on beer,
on all that stuff.
Because we love beer. We love a good beer.
We do. In fact, we often get a beer after our podcast.
We go to Beer Authority.
Yeah.
They're not sponsoring this at all.
No, but we go
But they do recognize us when we go, which is a little disconcerting because it's Manhattan.
And they take us to a table and they look at each other like, what?
What beers are going to get this time? So what's the beer news? Is it a new flavor?
Beer, it's not really a new flavor. It's just different things that you could do with beer.
All right, cool.
Different.
I know one thing.
Beer function. Okay. Besides.
Beer functions.
Okay. Yeah. But what do you know besides
just drinking? Oh, so you can if you're white, you can wash your hair with it. I think if you're blonde, right?
Yes.
And it improves the quality of your hair. Katie is a blonde.
Yeah.
Attest to that.
But actually, it really is also for dandruff.
Oh.
Which I don't have.
Okay. I didn't know it was for dandruff.
Yeah. All right. Flaky scalp is nobody's friend, but rinsing your hair.
Sure isn't. I hate it.
You know, older white men get so much
dandruff. I was just about to say that. It's, you know, now that I'm getting older and I'm noticing people more my age, you know, white guys. And it's like just look on your shoulder, buddy.
Just have a look.
It's down to the right.
A lot of older white men don't shower every day. I don't know
why. What are you talking about? What?
They don't. I could smell them on the elevator.
Heavily scented.
No. It's just that dandruffy.
Maybe they're showering the night before.
I don't know. Not many men do that.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so rinse your hair with a bottle of beer and shower.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Daily,
yes. And right, so you rinse your hair. It's high in vitamin B and yeast, and the beer will leave your hair feeling.
Yeast is every woman's enemy.
Just keep it on your head.
Yeah.
Feeling soft and shiny looking. And so you rinse it, and then you just quickly wash it out with a little bit of shampoo. Huh. And then
now, just any kind of beer?
Any kind of beer.
Like a Schlitz?
No, Schlitz is fine.
it's got PBR is fine. Yeah, a Grolsch is nice.
But it's also, it soothes aching muscles, not just when you drink it.
When you drink it, yeah.
When you soak it.
My foot hurts.
Yeah, but if you have the carbonation and the sugar content, make it an effective foot soak, relieving fluid retention and inflammation. So if your feet are bothering you, soak them in beer.
Is this because beer sales are going down? Like, we gotta come up with something else.
Yeah, right. And you can also bathe in it. And the yeast in beer leaves your skin feeling super soft and nourished.
Not ladies, though.
Yeah, keep it off your...
Keep it off your lady.
Parts. Because, especially after
the It's okay for the drapes. Yeah. Not for the carpet.
It's an amazing metal polisher.
Huh.
Yeah, it has the carbonation and the acidity makes it perfect for removing tarnish on all sorts of metal. Gold, silver, and other precious metals, you just spot clean them with beer.
I've been wasting all my time polishing the family silver with that silver polish.
Yeah, you know.
I could have been using this.
And for taps and shower heads, tie a sandwich bag around the dull unit and fill with flat beer.
The dull unit. That's going to be the name of my band. The dull unit.
The dull unit. That's your band name?
Yes. The dull unit. I like it. So you can clean the taps or shine the taps.
Shine the taps, yeah, and the shower heads. So you know how they get kind of that.
Yeah, just dump. Oh, that's cool.
Just stick a bag of beer and tie it around and let it
sit. You know, cash.
Got to move this. Okay, and then also.
He's tearing the studio apart.
I don't know.
Segment by segment.
Yeah, and if you have brown spots on your lawn.
Okay.
And grass
Excuse me? You don't know my life. If you have brown spots on your lawn, sure.
Okay, you take the patchy spots and you pour beer, and it makes it greener.
If at any time in my life you hear me saying anything about my lawn, just punch me in the face. I have lost it. If I'm concerned about my lawn, I got nothing else going on. Nothing. Someone else should be doing that, right? Okay, fine.
Beer also is kind of like medicine, and this is...
I'll say.
Yeah, right? It can relieve symptoms of sore throat, insomnia, and the common headache.
Insomnia?
Mm-hmm. If you can't sleep, just get up and have a
chug a beer.
Yeah.
Huh. I found that works with pretty much any alcohol.
Yeah. And so now that you use all your beer, what do you do with the bottle? You can take your bottle.
Terrarium. What can you do with it?
A small terrarium.
Hey.
For who?
How
are you going to put this?
For someone with a studio on the Lower East Side.
All right.
Just put a four-leaf clover in there. Who knows?
You put a cork with a hole in it.
Okay.
Fill the bottle with water and then tie it so it's upside down over your plants. And when you go on vacation, a little dribble of water will water your plants.
And your plants will look super classy with that 40 ounce sticking out of it. That rhododendron won't know what hit her. That looks very classic.
Yes, and so with your property values will soar.
Yes. Put those in the front. No, that actually is a good idea. I've done that before with my plants when I've gone away. I've done upside down, like a long neck soda bottle.
Well, see, you went the...
The classy route.
Yeah.
I'm saying I went the classy route. I have another... I'll skip this penis news. All right. So Girl Scout cookies, I was just telling Katie earlier on my way here. I was coming out of the elevator. I usually get annoyed with someone trying to get in the elevator as I'm getting out, but it was guys delivering massive amounts, like pallets and pallets of Girl Scout cookies, a dozen of which belong to me.
Oh!
My favorite is Samoa's.
I can't believe the pallets.
They're huge.
Well, you have
to. Little girls, I mean, it's a big building, and they shook us down.
Yeah, they did, and I'm sure he got them for everyone in his office, too.
The little girl came by, just had like a couple glasses of wine. And they were like, would you like some Girl Scout cookies? And I was like, yes.
You have them right now?
Yeah.
They're like, no.
I think I gave them like $50. So my favorite are the Samoas. And it says here's a wine pairing.
Oh, you can pair them with
all. Yes, they have them for all. By adding a glass of Chardonnay, of course, it's a tasteful white wine.
Yes.
You could turn this into the Samoa into even more of a delight, if that's possible. A good portion of wine, aged in French oak, expresses flavors and aromas of coconut. Katie's opening up a fine wine right now.
Yeah.
A can of wine. Mm. Aged Chardonnay that received botonnage, which is the stirring of yeasts called lees during maturation. This is like very fancy. I'm just going to have mine with like some dime store, some like white zin from the diner. So you can pair that. It goes with the shortbread and it complements the cookie and lets the chocolate become a second note.
Basically. Oh, the second note.
So yeah.
I didn't even know there was a first note inside the wine that I had.
Because I threw the whole cookie in my mouth and washed it down with some white zin. So they suggest here a 2012 Lafond Chardonnay, St. Rita Hills, California. It's $20 a bottle, which is like twice what we like to pay.
Yeah. You're right.
And it's probably not a gallon.
Yeah.
It's probably just a regular bottle.
I know, right? It's not even a gallon and they're paying that much.
Yeah. Or you could do Olivio Feluga Picolet. That's $134. The cookie, the box of cookies is $4 damn.
And it has a whole bunch of triglycerides and all kinds of things in those cookies.
Yeah. So I would say my pairing for this is probably going to be Bailey's and coffee.
Ooh.
That's going to be my pairing for the Samoas. What's your favorite cookie? You didn't answer.
The Thin Mints.
The Thin Mints.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you like to take your Thin Mints?
By the handful and just shove them in my mouth. That's what I
think they also make a nice topping.
I like mine with coffee. And yeah, and I like them with coffee and a little bit of Bailey's and vodka.
And Bailey's and vodka. Is there any coffee in there?
I'm not sure.
Not at all. Is it in the Hey You Know What mug?
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm wearing a robe.
Yes.
My terry cloth robe.
Nothing better than drinking from a mug with your own face on it.
Yeah. Yes. Jaquetta had these Hey You Know What mugs made up with our faces on them.
With our big cheesy grins. Yes. On the side. So that is my
I brought it to the office.
How do people feel about it?
I bring it to meetings.
Were they like, who are those attractive ladies?
Yes. I'm like, look, it's me. And they're like, we know.
Yeah. We've seen it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, the mug.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
You're listening to Hey, You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, I have here, we have a listener email.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. If anyone sends us listener email or gives us a 5-star review, they become eligible for an official Hey You Know What shot glass.
That's right. Yep. Well, this email is from someone who's very close to you.
Oh, no. Is it from Greg?
It's from Greg, Jaquetta's husband.
Yeah.
He sends emails. I don't know where he finds the time to work.
I don't know. Between cases.
He's like, wait.
Well, he gets these, my husband's a lawyer, and he subscribes to all these different, like, listservs. And they frequently send out ridiculous lawyer items. So
okay.
I think he just forwards them to us.
Okay.
I don't read them.
This is, I do.
Yeah,
Thank
I know.
You, Greg.
That's why I let you read them.
This is a little article.
Excuse me?
Judge removed from divorce case after sending one party a Facebook friend request.
Really? Come on now. How old are these people?
It's a Florida judge.
Oh, Florida.
Florida. Yeah. Who sent a Facebook friend request, which was rebuffed.
Wow. So, wait a minute. How did they report on this? The person was like, they wanted to friend me, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
See you in court.
And now it's uncomfortable. Now I'm going to court, and you have to see this judge.
How did you turn down their Facebook request?
Yeah, she
What's
reached...
the etiquette
the,
there,
the judge, I know. The judge reached out to the litigant, Sandra Chase, with a friend request. And she didn't accept it because her lawyer told her not to.
Yeah.
Because
you can't.
Yeah. She was getting a divorce, and the judge...
Was the judge like, wink, wink, kind of a thing? Or like, what was
Well, after she denied the request, the judge retaliated by giving her most of the marital debt in the divorce and giving her husband the larger alimony reward.
Maybe she should have accepted the friend.
Right.
That's a bad counsel.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a big problem.
Now, did she also try to friend the other person as well?
I don't think so. It doesn't say here.
Well, I mean, why would he say he got the money, right?
Yeah, you know, it seems clear that the judge's communication with the party presents a legally sufficient claim for disqualification, particularly in the case where the party's failure to respond
resulted in.
Yeah, because there was, you know, a fear in offending the solicitor.
Yeah.
You know?
But she did. She did the wrong thing. I would have been all about a message. I would have been like, accept
friend. Yeah, but couldn't you just then be like, then you have to go and get the judge removed and do the whole.
But if you, so by not accepting the friendship, she put her case in jeopardy.
Right.
I'm saying if she had accepted the friendship and just followed up with a message.
Well, then as soon as the divorce was granted, unfriend her.
Yeah, and then unfriend her.
Yeah.
That's what we would have done as lawyers.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg, for saying that.
Thank you.
It's amazing to me. Like,
we can't do this.
Well, we've reported on judges sexting on the bench. Like, I've been to court. I've seen people read in the Post on the bench. It's like, come on. It's a real job, people.
Right.
It's
right.
A real
it is a job, and you have authority. You can't do that.
And everyone knows who you are.
Right.
You know, like, if I send someone a request at my job, I don't know what it is, big guns, big tobacco, if I send a request to someone, it's not... You know, nothing's going to happen, but when you're a judge, you know, and you're a person of authority...
It's improper.
It's improper.
It's like, you know, the owner of a company sending a Facebook request.
Yeah.
You can't do that to your employee.
Or like, what if, like, Obama sent you a Facebook request, and I'd be like, I didn't vote for you, brother, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then you've got to accept him anyway.
Yeah, you have to.
And then you have to deal with all the stupid memes of himself.
Yeah.
Like, the president was all like, you know, like that kind of stuff.
And then LOL, you know, look at me on Funny or Die, Zach Galifianakis.
I think I followed President Obama the first time on Twitter, and I think I tweeted something mean, but I don't think he unfollowed me. So he followed you?
Care.
I don't think he follows anybody.
Okay.
Whoever his intern is. But I was like, dude, if you're going to be on Twitter, I'm going to like hashtag nasty things.
You're going to do that.
Hashtag get to work, brother.
Get off Twitter.
Stop
tweeting.
Go deal with Crimea. Oh, some robot news. So Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robopocalypse. And when we first started doing this podcast, it seemed like all of this robot stuff was so far away. Now I'm seeing headlines that are talking about in 2015 and 2016.
It's getting faster and faster. They're upon us. Robots are upon us.
I'm glad my life is half over, is all I have to say. So this is from the Times of India. It says, in 2015, already I'm freaked out. Uh-huh. Humanoid robot now will be able to keep your secrets. Now, that's something I can't do.
How can a robot keep your... What do you...
Humanoid robot.
You know, the couch kept my secrets, too. So what do I need a robot for?
Humanoid robots are not just the stuff of science fiction. These computing devices are likely to be walking around our streets in the next decade.
No.
I don't want to see that.
I don't either.
That is why Oxford University researchers are exploring privacy concerns surrounding what they call surrogate robots. Now, I don't know what the hell that is, but it doesn't sound good. It says, researchers are introducing advanced programming humanoid robot now to the public in Bristol, which is a city in England, in 2015.
So my husband is going to go impregnate a surrogate robot, and then they're going to have an affair.
But then you're going to send another robot to, like, give him what for?
Yeah.
Because you don't even have time. Finding ways of preventing information stored in the robot from being hacked. So the thing is that, you know how we interact with our phones now? We have all this information, and people could easily get that. Mm-hmm. In the future, or next year, apparently, we're going to be interacting with robots, and they're going to know so much about us that if someone hacks into it, they'll be like, Jaquetta took a pee at like 4:35.
Oh, my God.
And how are we going to stop people from accessing all of our information? Because robots, all they do, it's like a gigantic... information suck.
Yeah, they have everything there, and
they can pull it up whenever.
Yeah,
so they're trying to figure out ways to make sure that robots don't give out all your secrets. Now, we can't even figure out how to stop people from doing that, so I'm not sure about that. But it says, as robots start to assist people in daily lives, for example, becoming companions for older people. Look, my mom struggles with Skype. That robot is going to be in the pool, like upside down. And she'll be like, I can't get it back online.
And she's going to buy a bunch of robots, and one for each one function. She's a one-function robot because she can't program them.
We had to buy my mom a simplistic phone.
Right.
Really?
Well, what about the TV remote?
Yes.
You can't have a universal one.
Like, a robot is not going to... In any case. So they're saying that old people are going to be... their companions are going to be these robots. And I'm like, what about poorly paid immigrants from the islands? What are they going to do now?
Right.
For $8 an hour. So bizarre. So it says...
Are robots going to wash people?
I mean, they're going to try to replace whatever home health aides do.
Really?
I don't want a robot washing my mom.
Or putting a catheter on somebody?
Yeah. Penis news. this guy says, when we begin to interact with friendly-looking humanoid robots... By the way, they all look fucking scary.
There's no such thing. The friendlier they try to make them look, the creepier they are.
When they put a hat on, it's like, get it away from me.
Yeah.
New questions arise about how much we trust these devices. No, not at all. Some people might develop an emotional attachment to them, lonely men. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have to rescue those robots, probably. Particularly in situations where they play companions.
A robot with his face pressed up against the window, or her face pressed up against the window.
Get me out of here.
I need to get out now. Get me the hell out now.
Either change my programming or shut me off.
Pull the chip.
Yeah, that'll be robot suicide.
Yeah.
There'll just be chips everywhere. Like, what happened? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they'll have the button, the final button, it's called.
I've had 8 robots and they've all self-destructed. I can't help you.
The chip is just...
I can't help you.
It bursts out and disintegrates.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Herschel. I don't know what to say. It's important, therefore, that we design robots that have privacy embedded in their design. Yeah, right. Until Facebook does one, right? So otherwise, they could betray the trust of people they come into contact with and pass on information to third parties, which is probably the whole reason of the damn robot in the first place.
Yes.
I can't suck
your information and give it out to other people at a price. Yeah.
So, and they have a picture of this, of the robot. It's got massive feet. It's got dead eyes. It looks like it's wearing some kind of a robot hairpiece for some bizarre reason. It's just like a little thing, like a TAM on top of it. And it just looks scary. Its hands look like they're built to crush.
They are. They like, are. I mean, we've reported on robots that are being programmed to touch gently.
Yes. No,
that's
thanks.
Scarier.
That's the last thing I need to get felt up by a friggin' robot.
Yeah.
On the subway. It's just like wall-to-wall robots. You don't know who did it.
You're right.
That's crazy. Anyway, I like the idea of technology being helpful, mm-hmm. but we don't need more people walking around.
No.
Even if they're not real people.
We don't, yeah, right? Congesting the streets.
And as someone who grew up out in the country too, I'm thinking about like, I'm out in the woods, you know, like camping mm-hmm. or doing whatever, taking a hike. And all of a sudden out of the corner of my eye, a damn robot.
Oh yeah.
No thank you.
And what about walking down the street and you think you see your friend and you're like, hey, June.
Yeah. And it's actually,
it's, you know, robot.
A robot from the 50s. Apparently June.
Yes. And how disappointing. It's like, oh, my friend. Just think about it. Like, I'm seeing my friend,
yeah.
June.
Hey, Cheryl. Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's a robot.
It's a surrogate Cheryl coming this way. And you know what? She's also loose lips. Just like the real Cheryl. Yeah. Won't shut up. Don't tell her anything. Don't. You've been seen. Forget it.
Forget her circuitry.
Yeah.
Faulty.
Just like the real June. June and Cheryl. The June and Cheryl show. Yes. Sounds dirty. All right, what do you have?
I have advice.
Oh, sweet. So advice on advice is a segment that we do.
Yeah.
Where we take advice that we found on the internet that stinks, unqualified, and we improve it, and we give advice on that advice. So Katie's got advice from the web.
Yeah, this is Dear Prudence.
Sweet.
Okay.
Always fresh.
Yes.
Can you imagine the advice robot? I have something on that, actually, as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Robot advice on advice.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
But listen to this one.
Yeah, you'll have to.
My wife and I have been happily married for more than a decade.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, Dear Prudence.
Yes, yeah, that's why I'm writing in.
We saw a therapist together for a couple of years. My wife wasn't interested in sex, and I was.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a man and a woman.
Yeah. We got much better at it. Fine. I don't know what that means, but...
Hey, getting interested or the sex itself? Who knows?
Yeah.
So she got into, she took some acting classes and she can now make it as well as a Greek accent. I like, whatever.
Then a column from yours from a year or so ago got us even further ahead. You advised a woman to schedule a weekly sex date with her husband.
A sex date?
And hoped both of them come to look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
We did
that.
We did that, and it's working well.
Okay. Because she knows she only has to do it once a week.
Except my wife prefers to be drunk to do the deed. She barely drinks at all otherwise.
She's trying to make you attractive.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know. But to get frisky, she likes two or three glasses of wine mm-hmm. because she says it shuts up her self-consciousness and resistance to other things that get in the way.
And she can't see as well. What? Okay. This is
everything.
Fine. He's not happy. He's having sex, but he's like, he wants her to not enjoy it, basically.
My drunk wife is great in bed. My sober wife does not want to be touched and just wants to get the deed done as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I enjoy sex with my intoxicated wife.
What's the problem?
But I don't love that she needs to be several sheets to the wind to get in between the sheets.
Okay.
Oh, that was, you know what, really cute the way you phrased that.
Yeah.
Sheets to the wind.
Sheets to the wind to get between the sheets.
You really did that to your wife?
Yeah.
No wonder she needs to get
drunk. Exactly. Right? We need to get drunk to finish reading this.
Yeah. She's consistent in saying that it's not about me, it's her own stuff. Maybe more sex therapy could help, but who has time for appointments with three young kids and jobs?
Okay, let me get this straight. So they've been together for 10 years. They've got three kids. They both work. They're very busy.
Yeah.
He's getting laid by his hot, drunk wife.
What's the problem? And she's fine with it.
And she's fine with it.
It's two or three glasses of wine. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's
a
cheap
date.
That's like a everyday.
Every day. But he's getting laid.
And he signs it glass half full. So he feels like
this guy wants too much. Okay, what's the
advice? I mean, like, what's the problem?
I don't see a problem.
There is no problem here.
It's like, you know, I like to go to the movies, but I like to have a couple of drinks beforehand, and then I enjoy the movie, and the movie enjoys me watching, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, so.
But the movie comes on later, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Could you be sober and enjoy this less while you're doing this? Could you do that for me? It's like, he's asking too much. Okay, let's
go. Okay, all right. It's just, dear glass. There's terrible.
What an asshole.
These are some loaded questions. Is it a problem that your wife has to get intoxicated to enjoy sex with you? Or should you be delighted that she's willing to get intoxicated to have sex with you? Yes. From your account, your wife was never that interested in sex, and so you are one of those couples who decided to pair up despite your mismatched libidos. See, that's one of the things. You have to have matching libidos going.
But they've cured it here with,
with wine.
Something that's very cheap and available. It's legal.
And it's not going to kill you.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't affect him.
And it doesn't. She doesn't drink other times.
No.
It's just to be with him.
I mean, if he were smart, he'd be slipping her a few glasses on the regular.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case.
Right. Cooking dinner, pouring wine. I do wonder.
Wine soup as an entree.
The kids are named Chardonnay.
Yes. Riesling.
Yeah. Riesling.
Yeah, again. Really?
What? Okay, I do wonder about people who think love will overcome this problem, but surely everyone knows marriage and kids really heat things up.
Yes. See, this is what I was saying. They have three kids. They, you know, familiarity breeds, if not contempt, boredom.
Yeah, I have suggested scheduling sex, which doesn't sound sexy, but having sex turns out to be more sexy than not having it.
Word.
Right.
Right? So, drunk sex is better than no sex, is what you're saying here. Scheduled.
No, scheduled sex is better than no sex. So, drunk sex is better than scheduled sex.
I don't understand. Okay, I'm still not sure what the problem is.
And I know. In most of these cases, though, the partners have established they enjoy each other in bed. They're just not getting it that often. No, she doesn't enjoy him in bed. What is she saying?
Huh?
I know. Oh, in most of the cases, people are saying they are just not enjoying it enough. I think you need to get the primary source of your wife's resistance. It is more than lies. Is it more that she lies there thinking, I've got to make an appointment for the kids' vaccinations tomorrow. Are we out of bread? Olivia, or Chardonnay, has a recital Thursday morning.
And Riesling has soccer camp coming up.
Yeah. Is it because her domestic life has you know, doused the flame on her erotic life instead of sex being a release, it's another obligation? Or is she saying, I hate it when he touches my nipples. I hate it when he kisses my neck. I hate it when he wants me to stroke his ...
Hey, but nipple was okay.
Yeah. I know, right?
His penis news.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, this inquiry into your wife's feelings needs to be sensitive. I suggest you start reading Mating in Captivity by Esther Perel.
What? Mating in Captivity?
Yeah, these books offer insights or case histories that speak to your situation. If you find these, you can ask your wife to look at some passages.
Okay.
Wait, you know?
I don't know what the... It sounds like they have a nice... marriage,
yeah.
Right? They've got a family.
Yeah.
They seem to be financially okay. They're both working. You know, he didn't mention any other...
Anything else going on. She just needs to relax a little more.
But she's getting relaxed.
Yeah, with the wine.
And he's getting laid, so I don't know what the problem... It's never enough.
This is something that you can't fix it anymore than what they fixed it.
Has he thought about maybe what he might look like? Like, maybe he's not making her feel sexy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe she's writing to E. Jean and being like, I have to get loaded to even look at my husband's ...
Yeah.
Like, but she's doing it. You know what I mean? They're still
doing it.
It's
happening.
It's happening.
Everyone's getting what they want.
Yeah.
She gets relaxed and gets a little loaded.
It's like there's a scene in Annie Hall. You've seen Annie Hall. Where it's like she has to smoke weed in order to have sex with him.
Yeah.
And he's upset by it. But I'm like, dude, you're getting laid.
Yeah.
Would you rather her be... You'd rather not get laid?
Would you rather her crying?
Or her be crying or bored? Like, you're getting what you want. I don't get it.
Right.
We have to ask a guy on this one.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, let us know.
Yeah.
We're confused. Would you be upset by a drunk, sexy wife sleeping with you?
Who is having a good time.
Who's having a good time and you're having a good time.
Sober and...
And it's on the regular. Or would you like a sober, despondent wife who is, you know, shut like a clam?
Yeah.
Frankly.
Let us know. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Terrible advice.
Wow.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
Here's something.
Yeah.
No Laughing Matter.
All right.
That's the title.
Oh.
There's a clown shortage. Now, someone told me about this before, that actually people don't want to go into clowning.
They don't? What a surprise. I'm sure it helps them get laid.
It says...
You know,
if you're currently at work right now, you may disagree that there is a shortage of clowns. I don't know what that means as an opening sentence.
What?
Believe it or not, there's a union for clowns.
Oh, yeah.
So they took it to the union. That might be a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes unionization decreases the amount of people who can go out there and do a thing. Because you imagine that you just do a little, you know, a little white face and gloves and a big bow tie and big shoes and you get shut down by the unions?
Yeah. Well, there's clown school.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't clown freelance style?
Maybe no, not. You can't. The tuition for clown school.
Really? Maybe that's a problem as well. So it says, it's not made up of clowns, but clowns is a profession, right? There's a difference. And the president of the Clowns of America International.
No.
Not even, they don't even have a good acronym. This week said there's a shortage.
It should be something like honk. Honorary Office of Clown.
That's hawk.
I got the end.
All right, I'll come back to it. It's there. It says it's declining.
Honorary Office of National Clowning.
Oh, I like that. Honk. It's good.
Clowning with a K.
Improv. It's declining interest, old age, and higher standards.
No.
That have plunged in the... What do you mean high... So in the past, like, just any asshole. Right. Put on some white face, big pair of pants, honk, honk, and he's out there.
Right.
But they cut down on it with the union. It said, what's happening is attrition, says the union president.
Attrition?
Yeah. Glenn Kohlberger. Not even a funny name. The older clowns are passing away.
They're dying from laughter.
Membership in the World Clown Association, the WCA.
Oh, no.
The world's largest trade group for clowns, leading me to believe that there's some others, has dropped about 1,000 from 3,500 in 2004 to 2,500 now. That still seems like a shitload of clowns.
No kidding.
I don't need one clown.
No. Clowns are... They should be dying off because they're scary.
They're creepy, right?
Yeah.
The challenge, they say here, is getting younger people involved in clowning. I don't know. As a former teacher, I'm sure I said to many people, what are you going to do, be a clown when you grow up?
Yeah.
Get to work. It says clowning is put on the back burner until the late 40s and early 50s, which is creepy.
People?
Yeah.
The age?
40s. And yeah, people in their 40s and 50s wake up one day and are like,
I never was a clown.
Clowns. Clowning.
That's what I need in my life.
I'm going to call up honk right now. In the New York area, a clown can make as much as $300 for a birthday party, but what a hassle. American kids these days are thinking about different careers, says Cyrus Zavish, president of the New York Clown Alley.
You know what I thought? It's like when they go to the clown party, the kids that they're entertaining are thinking of their careers already. Like, I don't have time for this clown.
Does anyone ever come up to a clown after and be like, how'd you get into this?
Yeah.
How do I get on this? They're thinking about other things besides clowning. I don't think in the history of clowning ever has a kid gone and told someone that they wanted to be a clown.
Never.
That person has been like, shut it down.
No. Absolutely.
Like, no.
There's been more clown dreams that have been smashed.
Yes. By teachers.
Right.
And parents. If your kid was like, I want to be a clown, I'd be like, be quiet. Move along. I gotta get drunk and go sleep with your father. It's a Thursday.
Get Riesling to do her homework.
Chardonnay, get out of here. You're not going to be a clown.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and apparently there's not enough clowns to go around. I think there's just not a lot of work for clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have one friend who's a clown, and she does really well.
Okay.
But her clown work is a little bit different. Like, she does, like, princess parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not doing the traditional, like, I'm thinking, whenever I think of clown, I think of, like, European hobo.
Yeah, or you think of Cirque du Soleil, those clowns there that are just not entertaining.
No, and you're annoying, and you're like, well, the contortionist come back on and do a pole dance.
Right, and then you're waiting for them to kill.
Yeah. And you're waiting to get close up because you think there's going to be, like, a little bit of stubble coming out of the white paint.
Yeah.
Maybe slate.
To take out a flask.
Gin.
Yeah.
I mean, if shakes is what I'm thinking about
as
a clown. So if anyone's interested in clowning, you know, apparently there's going to be a lot of openings for that in the future.
Yeah.
There's only 2,500 professional clowns.
Out there.
And this does not include the people dressed like Elmo who get in the fights all the time at Times Square. I saw a character.
That's right. The like a cartoon character.
It was like a Hello Kitty.
Yes.
And it was just clearly some dude in a Hello Kitty costume.
Yeah.
And it was horrifying.
Yeah, I was in Times Square too with my niece and nephew, and we were going to Toys R Us.
How did they feel about them?
They were afraid of them.
Okay.
And I thought, honestly...
They're reasonable young children.
Well, here's the thing. There's a couple of characters that were with Toys R Us.
Okay.
That you could take pictures
with. Who were professional.
Yeah, they were fine.
License.
You could take pictures. Yeah. And then there was the Hello Kitty, a Buzz Lightyear.
Because Hello Kitty doesn't care.
And an Elmo. And
probably the same elmo got into a fight.
Yeah, and they were grouped together, but they were off to the side. And I thought they were with Toys R Us, and they weren't. And I encouraged my niece and nephew to go up to them and I'll get a picture. And they were like, no, no, no. And I was like, it's okay, don't be afraid. And
they were like, don't make us Aunt Katie, please.
Yeah, and then they said that the Hello Kitty was saying, I love you, to them. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. this happened to you. I'm so sorry.
You created nightmares.
I gave them nightmares. I gave them their first.
And that is why there's a clown. I think people of our generation are scared of clowns, and that's being transmitted. Yeah. You've had Pennywise the clown.
We've had that clown in the movie Poltergeist that came out and killed everyone or somebody.
We're just not into them. Just not into
We don't like them. And so a whole generation has skipped a beat on clowns.
I mean, I think maybe it's different in Europe, but I doubt it.
Well, maybe in years there'll be a clown resurgence.
I hope not. That sounds like something awful. Clown resurgence, 2060. Yeah. Robot clowns. In any case.
Yeah.
Have a good one, people.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks!
It would have to be something like a shadow elephant.
Yeah.
And I would say that, because they say it's shadow monkeys, but that's just like probably just a very lazy person. very lazy shadow person.
A shadow sperm whale dipping in and out of the ocean.
Anything. These just sound like, infestations of rodents and vermin.
Right. So. And you need some glasses and better lighting. Yeah. That's all.
And that's my tale.